And let's get into the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And the Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly." Praise God. I want to just minister tonight for a little bit. The need for more than one touch. Amen. We need more than one touch when it comes to our walk with God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give God thanks one more time. Come on, lift your voice and let's give God thanks one more time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I've just got a little something I want to start off with here tonight. Maybe it will help somebody to see how life really is. Amen. Chippy was a parakeet. Amen. And he never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blowed over. Well, glory to God. The owner decided one day to clean the cage that Chippy stayed in with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the hose and stuck it in the cage. She barely got it in the cage when the phone rang, and she turned to pick up the phone when Chippy was sucked up. Amen. Chippy got sucked in. The owner gasped, hung up the phone, and turned off the vacuum. Opened up the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive but stunned. Dust and soot, she grabbed the bird and raced him to the bathroom, turned on the faucet and held the bird under the running water. And realizing that Chippy was almost to drown, she pulled him out and soaked and shivering. Then she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. Hope there's no bird owners here tonight. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the parakeet with hot air. Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days later, the reporter who covered the event called the owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, the owner replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." Amen. Not hard to see why when you get sucked up, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal joy from the strongest among us today. Well, somebody ought to smile just a little bit. That's what happens sometimes in life. Amen. And what we need is the touch of the Lord in our life. Y'all look like you've been sucked up, washed up, and blowed over tonight. I don't know how your week's been going, but praise God. Hopefully it'll be cheered up a little bit before you leave tonight. Amen. Praise God. We read the scripture tonight from Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And too often I think we give up before the time of victory comes to us. And many have stopped right before the time of deliverance or right before the time of victory in their lives. And one element that we've got to have in our life is a never give up attitude. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. We know that there are times that we have hope, and it seems like our hope is dashed. Amen. It dashed to pieces. Many people have been down this road, and probably more than not have been down this road. Some have succeeded, and some have failed. because of that lack or that addition of that attitude that I'm not giving up is in their life. Amen. I want to just read a little bit about someone that I'm sure you're very familiar with, but this is a true story. It's not about Chippy the parakeet. Amen. But this individual was forced, their family was forced out of their home because they had no money to pay for the rent. And this individual had to work to support his family and to keep them above water. A couple of years after this incident, his mother passed away. And a few years later, this individual started a business, but the business failed. And decided that he would get into politics. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. But he ran for state legislature, and he lost. And at the same time, the very same year, he lost his job and decided he wanted to go to law school, but they would not let him in. Amen. A year later, he borrowed some money from a friend to begin a business, and by the end of the year, he was bankrupt and spent the next 17 years of his life paying off the debt. A year later, he decided to try politics again, ran for state legislator again, and won. Was engaged to be married, and before the marriage took place, his sweetheart died, and his heart was broken. 1 year later, he had a total nervous breakdown and was in bed for 6 months. How would you like to go through these things? He sought to become the Speaker of the State Legislature and was defeated. Sought to become elector and was defeated. Ran for Congress and was defeated. Ran for Congress again, and that time he won and went to Washington. Ran for a re-election to Congress and lost. Sought the job of land officer in his home state and lost. Ran for Senate of the United States and lost. How many would have given up by now? Sought the vice presidential nomination at his party's national convention and got less than 100 votes. Ran for the U.S. Senate again and lost. And then 2 years later was elected president of the United States. And you know him. His name is Abraham Lincoln. Amen. There are some things that will thrust us to victory if we'll just stay with it. Amen. Well, praise God. And many, many are the stories of those that have suffered. They've suffered seemingly insurmountable odds, but they made it through to victory because they never gave up. And we look here tonight in the story that we read in Mark chapter 8, of the blind man that came to Jesus. And as I began to look at it at this today, there are many things that came out to me, but some of them I wanted to bring out tonight in this message. Hopefully it'll cheer someone up. Y'all look really cheery here tonight, and you need some cheering. Praise God. We have a story here that this man was blind. Everybody said he was blind. He was blind. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22, Jesus comes to Bethsaida, and they bring unto him a blind man and besought him to touch him. Here was the door of victory, and it opened up right before his very eyes. The Bible says that he besought him. And I looked that up, and that word besought there means to call near or to invite or to invoke or to beseech or to call for. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory tonight, that when he besought the Lord, he went out of his way. He said, Lord, would you come and touch me? Lord, would you heal me? Lord, would you do this in my life? Would you help me through this situation in my life? And, of course, Jesus had to do that because in one place he said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. Praise God. And so he began to knock on the Lord's door. He was born, or he was blind. It doesn't say he was born blind, but he was blind, and no one knows really what happened to him. He was above 40 years old, and Scripture tells us that. So it was probably a situation here where something happened in his life. Maybe a disease came upon him, and he ended up blind. Maybe I've heard of those that have become blind because of a tremendously high fever or some disease or sickness or whatever it is. But somewhere in his life, things changed. And, you know, things change in our lives. Is that right? Amen. Those of us that are adults here tonight, we know that. Things can change in life. And all of a sudden, your hope is dashed. All of a sudden, things happen, and you don't know why they've happened. And you don't know what's going to happen because of the situation. He was probably thinking in his mind, I'm going to be a blind man for the rest of my life. I'm not going to have any hope at all to see anybody or to do anything. I'm going to have to be a beggar the rest of my life. I'm going to have to beg for my sustenance. And I don't know about you, but if I ever found myself in that kind of a place, I would say, it's hopeless. Amen. I would say, I'm talking about without the Lord. I'm a hopeless situation here. There's nothing that is going to help me or to strengthen me or to change my situation. But somewhere in the context of this, I see an attitude of somebody who says, I'm not giving up on life. Praise God. I'm not giving up. And can I just say tonight that whatever you try to do in your life, you're going to come up against problems. You're going to come up against struggles and trials and troubles. Amen. Things are going to happen. You're going to try things and it won't work out. Try it again and it won't work out. And so many today just simply give up and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Amen. Many have given up on the Lord and said, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's too hard. The trials are too severe. But I would just like to tell you tonight, or anybody that would listen to this message, that what are you going to do if you give up? Are you just going to give up heaven for hell? Are you going to give up Jesus for the world? I want to tell you tonight, there's nothing in the world that will satisfy. Praise God. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy the hunger that's in the heart of man. There's only one thing, and that's the Lord. We've got to go back to Him time and time again and beseech Him and call upon Him and invite Him, invoke Him. In other words, speak His name and call Him near. Because He really, really, really is the only one that can help us in life situations. Amen. And not only was he a blind man, but Mark chapter 8, I'll look there in Matthew here in just a minute, but it says he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And so he comes to Bethsaida. And this man obviously lived under the influence of Bethsaida. I don't think he actually lived in Bethsaida, but he lived probably in the outer perimeters of the city. And as I begin to look at that city, Bethsaida, I come to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 21 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21 and 22. And Jesus is speaking to Bethsaida, the city. Here was the atmosphere of this town or this city. And he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And Tyre and Sidon was known as corrupt cities. They were cities that rested upon the Mediterranean Sea. They were port cities. I've talked about them before. They were cities of commerce, comings and goings, but they were wicked cities, and they deserved the judgment of God. And yet Bethsaida excelled above them in wickedness. And so here was a man who was blind. Jesus comes to the city. He always comes to the wicked city. Praise God. He always has a heart for the sinner and a desire to help them and to touch them. And he was blind, but here he was under the influence of this city that had now the judgment of God over it. And too often we see our circumstances, and all we can see is troubles. All we can see are problems. All we can see are the negatives in life. There's just something about our flesh. It is drawn to those things. Amen. It takes a man or a woman of faith to say, I'm lifting up my head and I'm going to look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Praise God. And we hardly stop when we look at the problems of our life to see where Jesus is, and to go to Him and to call upon Him and to draw near unto Him. I think sometimes we accept our sickness. I think sometimes we accept our situations. And sometimes they are things that we have to accept. But it's not that way in every situation. Amen. What we need to do is be people of faith and to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. To do the will of God in our lives. Anybody said amen to that? Amen. Praise God. And I believe that He came to this city to give us a lesson. Not only that, but because of the compassion that He had for this man who was blind. But you know, the Word of God is multi-leveled. It's got different aspects to it. And it was a story. It's a good story to read. But it's more than just a story. It talks about you and it talks about me and what we need to do when times of trouble come in our lives. Because it really doesn't matter where you live. It really doesn't matter the influence of society at that point in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on close to you. What really matters is I've got to get a hold of Jesus. Amen. This thing of it's too hard to live for God just really won't fly. Amen. It's too heavy. It just can't fly. It's like a lead balloon. Amen. It just won't work because God does not bless quitters. Amen. God blesses people who will stand up and say, I'm standing for God. I've made up my mind. I've made a commitment to God, and I'm not turning back. Anybody feel that way?